Good morning, everyone. Just to clarify for those who might be watching their clocks, this is going to be split sermonette or split sermon today. So, good afternoon and greetings to everyone from Cincinnati. I'd like to put a shout out to those that are out and that I visited and met with in St. George this year for the feast. Someone who typically speaks in the morning, I was kind of shocked when I got there and people coming up to me and saying, "Hey, I recognize you. I heard your message." And it was kind of humbling to be there and having people come up to me who I've never met, who knew my name and knew my messages. And it's just an example of the outreach that the webcast has from the home office here out to all the many different congregations and all the different people who may be shut-ins. Maybe consider the type of outreach Paul or Peter may have had if they would have been able to have a webcast to all the different congregations they had visited as they traveled across the country. But then also we would not have had most of the New Testament, because most of the New Testament is made up of their letters that they wrote to these many different congregations. So greetings again to my extended church family. Hope you're having a wonderful and enjoyable Sabbath. I grew up watching players like Michael Jordan and Larry Bird play basketball. I pretty much have stopped watching the current NBA. If it wasn't for Facebook, I would not even have had a clue who won this year. And I actually had to go out to the internet to see who actually they played against this year. But I remember watching players like Michael and Larry play the game and still remember the passion they played with. They were both great players with two different styles. Michael played the game like he was floating on air. He just could make anything look so easy. While Larry, he played with a little less finesse. He still had all the skills and talent to make you pay if you just left him open out on the open court. Michael still gets talked about as being the greatest player of all time. But Larry also had a very impressive career. Larry won back-to-back-to-back MVPs, NBA MVP titles, between 1984 to 1986. He won three NBA championships, won two NBA final MVP awards, 12 NBA All-Star appearances, and as a coach, he won the NBA Coach of the Year in 1998. I remember reading articles about Larry's skills as a great player. One of Larry's most impressive performances came on a quiet Friday night in February of 1986 against the Portland Trail Blazers. Two nights before the matchup with the Los Angeles Lakers, Larry decided to play with his left hand for the majority of the game against the Blazers. His reason why? "I am saving my right hand for the Lakers." Larry went on to score 10 of his 21 field goals against Portland with his left hand, and finished the game with 47 points, 14 rebounds, and 11 assists. This performance demonstrates his legendary talent and is remembered as his famous triple-double lefty game. And yes, two nights later, the Celtics played the Lakers and they ended up winning again. Under Larry's leadership that year, the Celtics went on to win the NBA Finals in 1986. And I will not go into all of Michael Jordan's records because it would take too long. Maybe you're wondering, why am I talking about these two players? As I watched them play as a teenager, and as I have read many articles about them over the years, they both never settled for just being good. They always tried to be better the next time they played the game. Being good was never good enough for them. They always had to be better the next time. How about us as Christians? Is good good enough? In our daily lives, should we focus on just being good Christians? Or does God expect more of us? Does God expect more of us than just being a good Christian? Have you ever thought, how good do I have to be to make it into the kingdom of God? As Christians, as followers of Christ, are we just trying to slide in at the last moment before the doors are shut to make it into the kingdom of God? Or are we making our election sure? Are we making our election sure? God expects us to be like Michael and Larry, God expects us to be striving to be better and better each and every day, and not just settle for being good and just barely making it into the kingdom. To be considered as a good Christian, what do you have to do? What do you have to do to be considered a good Christian? Have you ever thought about this question? Is it just keeping the Ten Commandments and God's holy days? Is that all it takes to be a good Christian? Is that all that God expects of us? Let's look at an example of where Christ answers these questions. Let's turn to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verses 16 and 22. Matthew 19, verses 16 and 22. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 20. Now the young man said unto him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We see this story that when Christ was asked, "What is required for eternal life?" by this young man, the answer was, "Keep the commandments." According to Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible, it states, Jesus said this doubtless to try him and to convince him that he had by no means kept the commandments, and that in supposing he had was altogether deceived, the young man thought he had kept them and was relying on them for salvation. This young man thought just keeping the Ten Commandments was all he had to do to enter the kingdom of God. We see this in our lives too. Just keeping the Ten Commandments in the holy days is not enough. We have to be doing more. This is a starting point, but we have to be doing more with our lives and more with the understanding that God has given us. In verse 21, we see the interesting question that the young man asked, "What do I still lack?" The young man believed in he had been keeping the commandments perfectly, yet he probably knew something was still missing in his life. But Christ knew something was lacking in his life and pointed it out to him. Christ started off with saying, if you want to be perfect, then go, and then goes on to show how to become perfect. This could be said of all of us. We all are lacking and need to strive to be perfect in our lives as Christians. But each of us have different things in our lives that we need to be working on. That's holding us back from being a better Christian. We should know that keeping the Ten Commandments alone will not save us. It will not get us into the kingdom of God, as this young man thought, just by keeping the Ten Commandments. How many people have we known or met that thought, "I'm a good Christian because I keep the Ten Commandments"? We know by the rest of the scriptures that it is only by grace and through the sacrifice of Christ that we have any hope of entering into the kingdom of God. But we also know that we are supposed to have works to go along with our faith. We see this over in James 2, verse 18. James 2, verse 18. "But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works.' But show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." I would say just trying to be good is not good enough. We cannot say we have faith and that will be good enough. No, we have to go beyond just having faith in our life. We have to have works, but putting our faith into action and becoming better than good on a daily basis, by becoming better than we were the day before. We see this over in the book of Matthew as well. Let's turn to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We will stay in chapter 5, But we know these chapters as the Sermon on the Mount. And it would be a good read for all of us to go back through chapters 5, 6, and 7. We see here Christ expounding how to go beyond just being a good Christian. How to go beyond just keeping the Ten Commandments. By reading these verses, we can see Christ teaching that the Ten Commandments is just the starting point of our Christian walk. Just the beginning steps of what it takes to enter the kingdom of God. These are just the beginning steps of becoming perfect, as we see in the story of the young ruler. As we start reading in Matthew 5, we see all the things we need to be doing to go beyond just being good. In verse 2, "Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecute the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" How are we doing in these areas? Do we have room to grow in these areas in our lives? Now let's look at verse 19 and 20 of Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verses 19 and 20, just dropping down. It reads, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." We see in the second part of verse 19, "But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." We see here that we have to be doing and teaching them to be called great. And them is God's commandments and laws and everything that goes along with it throughout the whole Bible, just not the Ten Commandments. This teaching is not just referring to standing up here like I am doing today and teaching and speaking, but it's more from the standpoint of showing others how to live our lives by our example. We are to be teaching others through our example by demonstrating how to be a Christian. If we break this down, the word "does" is in context of as we do, that is to put into practice. For the word "teach" is in the context to how we live our lives. So in essence, when Christ says, whoever does and teach them, he is saying that we have to do what he says and live what he says on a daily basis. The scribes and Pharisees were known to keep the Ten Commandments at the basic level, but what they lacked was taking it to the next level of really living it and putting it into their lives on a daily basis. As we consider verses 19 and 20, we see that we cannot rely on just being a good Christian. We have to go beyond that level of being a Christian, and we need to be living a life where we grow in grace and knowledge each and every day. Being good is not good enough. We have to be working on being better as we work towards the goal of being perfect. We know we will never be perfect. We know that we can continue working and becoming better and better each and every day. Just like Michael and Larry, they knew they'd never be perfect, but it did not stop them from each and every day showing up to practice and trying to become better. And they knew next time they would try to be better the next time, and better and better and better. Knowing that they'd never be perfect never stopped them from trying to be perfect. And the same goes for us in our lives. We cannot just say, I'll never be perfect, so why try? No, we have to try to be perfect each and every day. We have to try to be better the next day than we were the day before. And if we fell down and came up short, we need to pick ourselves up and move on and try to be better the next day. It's a constant progress and progression of getting better and better. We need to become, to demonstrate the example that we see from Michael and Larry as they strive to become the best they could be, and they are considered greats now. As I began working on this topic, Is Good Good Enough, my wife gave me a book that is called Too Good, Too Great, and it's by Jim Collins. This book, as I was reading it, it discusses and shows how good companies became great. And once they became great, they maintained that greatness in their area of expertise. And they compared other companies that had the same opportunities that they did, but didn't become great. Or if they did become great, they didn't sustain it. And as I was reading this book, I found a couple of principles in there that can apply to us in our Christian life. The first point from the book I think relates to us as Christians is that we have to be brutally honest with ourselves. We have to be brutally honest with ourselves. In the book, it states, "All good to great companies begin the process of finding a path to greatness by confronting the brutal facts of their current reality." It goes on to say, "When you start with an honest and diligent effort to determine the truth of your situation, the right decisions often become self-evident. It is important to make good decisions without infusing the entire process with an honest confrontation of the brutal facts." As Christians, as we start the process of going from good and going beyond good, we have to have an honest conversations with ourselves to see where we need to improve our lives. We have to be brutally honest with ourselves when it comes to overcoming sin. Do we say, "Well, my sin's not that bad. It could be worse." But the fact is, sin is sin, no matter how big or how small. We have to be brutally honest with the sins in our lives and call them out for what they are. God already knows what our sins are and where we fall short. Just like he did with the young ruler, I think most of us know where we fall short in our lives. And God's going to point them out if we ask him, just like Christ did with this young ruler. He says, "What do I need to be better?" And Christ told them. But then it was on him to make the change. The question is, are we going to keep lying to ourselves? Or are we going to truly face reality of the problems we are holding on to that's holding us back from going from being good to being great in all aspects of our lives? Not just one, but all aspects of our lives. The second point of the book I found interesting also relates to the first point that I just talked about. In the book, it states, "The good to great companies did not focus principally on what to do to become great. They focus equally on what not to do and what to stop doing." Once we are brutally honest with ourselves in the areas that we need to improve, we need to equally look at the things that we need to start doing and stop doing. Once we are brutally honest, we have two choices to make. For example, we may say, "I need to study and read the Bible more." I think we've all said this at some point. I know I have. So this is something we can say we need to start doing. But how about something we need to stop doing? Maybe we need to say, "I need to stop playing video games until 3 a.m. in the mornings." Just to be clear, I don't play video games till 3 a.m. in the morning. We don't have an Xbox, a Wii, or any of those other electronic games systems. Because I realized if I had them, it probably would consume my time and I would be playing them when I should be doing other things. So I never even bought one to start with. We've never had one in our house. However, for me, many years ago, shortly after I got married, I used to like to read Tom Clancy novels. And I would look, when I left work, I'd come home, the first thing I'd do is grab the novel and start reading. I really enjoyed reading them. And after a while, I realized I was looking forward more to reading that novel than I was the Bible. I was spending more time reading the novel than reading the Bible. It just became a passion for me, and I realized I had my priorities mixed up. After that, I've not read any more of his novels or any other novels. I found this was something I had to stop doing so I could start doing the things I need to be doing, like studying and reading the Bible. For each of us, I think many times we want to do more of something, But there is something that is stopping us from being able to do it, from being able to achieve what we want to do. If you have a goal to read your Bible more, beyond setting goals to start reading the Bible more, I'd recommend also setting goals of what to stop doing. Stop doing the things that are taking the place of doing what you want to be doing. Maybe it's playing video games again, or watching TV, or reading other books like I was doing. Maybe it's spending too much time on social media and paying all your attention to liking things and posting things that may or may not be true. What we need to be doing is focusing on our lives and reading the Bible and focusing our Christian lives, because we know when we read the Bible, that's true. That is the Word of God, and that's what's going to get us into the kingdom of God. Not how many likes we got on something on Facebook or anything else, but God's Word. As I said, I am only halfway through the book, or I didn't mention it, but I'm only halfway through the book, and I'm still looking forward to seeing what else principles in there that I can learn to apply to my life. But I found these two points remarkably interesting as it applies to our Christian lives, of trying to go from good to great as a Christian. As we think on this topic of, is good good enough, let's ask ourselves a few questions. Am I good or great at being a parent? Am I good or great at being a spouse? Am I good or great as being an employee? For the young kids, you can ask yourself, am I good or great at being a child? How about, am I good or great at being a church member? And most importantly, am I good or great at being a servant of God? If your answer to any of these questions is, I am good, then ask yourself, what would it take to become great in these areas? Ask the brutally hard question, what changes do I have to make in my life to be great instead of good? To any of these questions. I'm sure each of us can come up with other questions that we can ask ourselves, am I good or great in this area of my Christian life? And then have a brutal question, honest question with yourself, or discussion with yourself, to where you say, what do I need to be doing better, and what do I need to stop to achieve that? As we think about the different heroes in the Bible, ask yourself, what did they do to become great? We see over in Daniel 6, verse 10, what Daniel did. Daniel 6, verse 10, it talks about Daniel praying three times a day. How much better would our lives be if we prayed three times a day like Daniel? I would encourage you to study the different people in the Bible that were what we consider the greats and see what they did to help them become great. What is holding you back from going beyond good? Are you okay with just being good? Or do you want more? Are you ready to have a brutally honest conversation with yourself? Or are you ready to stop doing the things that are holding you back from doing the things you should be doing to become great? One of my opening questions was, as Christians, as followers of Christ, are we just trying to slide into the kingdom of God by doing the bare minimum required to make it in? Or are we making our election sure? This question comes from 2 Peter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Peter here is telling us that we need to take action to make our calling and election sure, not to just do the bare minimum and hope we make it into the kingdom of God, but to be proactive in our lives as Christians and go beyond just doing the bare minimum. Are we lazy Christians? Maybe it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Are we lazy Christians? Since we are here in 2 Peter 1, let's look back a few scriptures to see what things Peter is saying we need to be doing to make our calling and election sure. We can move back up to verse 5. Verse 5 of 2 Peter 1. We need to be having faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. We need to ask ourselves, how are we doing in these areas? How are we doing in these areas that Peter outlined that we need to be doing to make our election and our calling Sure. Now let's drop down to verse 8 of 2 Peter 1. Verse 8 of 2 Peter 1. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and have forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is encouraging us to stop being lazy and trying to just slide into the kingdom of God, but to live a life that will ensure that we make it. In Matthew 10, we see the story played out. Matthew 10. Or I think it's Matthew 25. I think that was a typo. Yes, it's Matthew 25. Sorry about that. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. It's a familiar set of scriptures we've read. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Not 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. For those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore that you neither, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." All 10 virgins were good, but 5 were lazy at being good and not fully prepared, while the other 5 made sure that they had themselves ready to the best they could, so when they would be ready for when the bridegroom would come. 5 of the virgins tried to slide into the kingdom of God, but the door was shut just before they got there. Don't be caught on the wrong side of the door. How important is this, being on the wrong side of the door? We see this over in Revelation 20, verse 6. Revelation 20, verse 6. It says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Are we making our election sure so we can be part of the first resurrection? Or are we going to try, or are we going to be locked out of the wedding? Hopefully this will motivate us to stop selling for being just good and not working to becoming great and making our calling sure. At the Feast of Tabernacles this year, or on the 8th day, maybe you heard a message that really struck a chord with you. Maybe you heard a message that you said, "Yeah, I need to do a bit better in this area of my life or that area of my life." It's been a week since we're back from the Feast of Tabernacles in the eighth day. What have you done about it? Have you forgotten that message that impacted you, that motivated you at that moment to write some notes in your notebook to say, "I need to change this in my life"? I encourage you to go back, download the message that impacted you at the feast, and listen to it again. And keep it someplace where you can listen to it throughout the year. And every time you feel yourself sliding down, sliding backwards, and not achieving what you wanted to do, Go back and listen to that message. And listen to that message to the point that you can start reciting it as the speaker's going along. This will help ingrain it into your life. Because you don't want to be at the feast next year, sitting there listening to a message that reminds you of a message the prior you and thinking, yeah, I had a goal to do that, but I never did it. Let's not be the type of person that thinks, yeah, I need to do this, and then just forgets about it over the course of life as we start just getting back into the regular life we live every day, getting back to the world, going to work, taking our kids to soccer practice or whatever. We need to remember the messages we heard at the feast and apply them to our lives and keep remembering what we heard. And I encourage you, if you have goals of what you want to do better, write them down. And not write down what you want to do, but write down what you have to stop doing to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. This is what I learned in that book. It's not a matter of just what you want to do better, but also taking out the things that are keeping you from being better. Remove the things that are holding you back from going from good to great. This was an important lesson I got from the book. It's just something that when I read it, I said, wow, yeah, I need to remove certain things from my life so I can do the other things I want to do better. So is good enough? It was not for Mike or Larry. They never stopped trying to become perfect. Each and every day, they put into practice what they learned the day before and strive to be better than they were the prior day. We need to be doing the same thing in our lives each and every day. God has called us to overcome and to be perfect, just like our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Each day, we need to strive to be better than we were the day before, because being good is not good enough when it comes to being in the kingdom of God.